January, interesting statistics that I pulled up, 72% of people, we just got through Christmas. We just got through New Year's. Doesn't seem possible, right? A joyous time of the year, celebratory time of the year. But 72% of people who were polled in America said January is the most depressing month of the year. Interesting, huh? And based on it, they took some information on why. Number one, bad weather. How many of you can attest to that? You don't like the bad weather. I don't either. All the rest of you will pray for you if you do like it. But another one is dark mornings and dark evenings. Another one is returning to work after the Christmas time. I'm not going to say amen because I get in trouble, but you can say amen. Bad financial situations. People overspend during the holidays and then end up having to face all that in January. And then lastly, the top reasons, five reasons, was 40% say because they had to take down their Christmas decorations, okay? And I love Christmas decorations, so I get that. But Joshua 10 says this, and this spoke to my heart and to my spirit so much. And I actually read this as we were going through the chronological order of the scripture. So as I read this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And what I'm trying to tell you is, as you read God's word and as you join with us, and I hope that after this service, the City Church's page on the YouVersion will have about 30 more likes on it. Amen. And you'll join with us on our reading plan. But the Holy Spirit, as I begin to read, spoke to me through this scripture. I want to share it with you. Joshua 10:24. We're going to get right into it. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel. He called to them. He said, come here. And said unto the captain of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your foot on the necks of these kings. And don't get caught up in that, because this is Old Testament. And after I'm done reading the Old Testament, I'll be into the New Testament, and I'll preach on that the rest of the year. Can you say amen? And they said, they came near and put their feet on the neck. And Joshua said unto them, he said this to them. And this is what I really want to hinge on. This is what I want to talk on. This is what I want to rest on. I want to rest on the subject, fear not, nor be dismayed. And it's interesting, just to put this into context a little bit, these five kings that Joshua had pursued, they had kept them from what God had promised to them. And how many of you know it's true even today? There are things that keep us from the promises of God, not only in us as parents and as leaders and as men and women of God, but they keep our kids, they keep our families, they keep a generation from the promises that God has given to us. And Joshua says, fear not, nor be dismayed. But to put it in a context, the interesting thing about this, they already won. They already conquered these five kings that were keeping them from the promised land. They just said, they brought these five kings to them. They had conquered them. They had rule and dominion over them. He's okay. Griffin's just amen at me. You could learn from that this morning. Amen. But he had already won. Joshua had already won. And he goes to his people. He goes to his friends. He goes to his confidant. He goes to the people that are serving with him, the captain of the host. He goes to the people who are closest to them. And he says something to them that I want to say to you, and that I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks through eternity through his word. And it rings in your ear true today. Fear not, City Church. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. And it's interesting. I made this connection. The Holy Spirit had been speaking to me, this connection in my mind of Joshua is doing great things. He's walking in the promises of God. He's walking in his destiny, but he feels this pushback in a mighty way. He's overcome. You've overcome. I want you to hear that this morning. You've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. God has given you victory to walk it out in life. You've won. You have the victory. But at times, like Joshua, He's speaking to people. He's speaking to friends. He's speaking to family. And he's saying something to them that I want to say to you and that the Holy Spirit says to you, fear not. It doesn't mean just because you've conquered that you won't have some fear, some resistance, some difficulty. Joshua says, fear not. The Lord is with you. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you this morning to work in us. We come to you and we say, we don't have all the answers. We don't have it all figured out. But we rest in you. We rest in the faith that you have overcome and caused us to be conquerors. We thank you for this great group of believers this morning. We want to grow in you. We want to be discipled in you this morning. Do it in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joshua says, fear not, nor be dismayed. And I thought about these five kings. I thought about how is this relevant to us today. And I begin to ask the Lord to really speak to me the relevance of these five kings. And I thought of five kings of today. I thought of five things, kings in our lives that we struggle with day in and day out. That people face them. They know that they have the victory. They know as they read God's word that he's given them victory. But there's these five kings that we have to subdue. We have to bring them out into the light. We have to subdue them, and we have to have victory over them and your senses. Your senses are five kings that if you're not careful, they will rule and they will reign in your life. They will contradict what God's word says every single time. And they're God-given. Our senses are God-given. Our sight, our hearing, our touch, our taste, our smell is God-given, but it has to be under the authority of our faith. We can't just let our feelings run rampant and people in marriages. You know what I'm talking about this morning. It's very, very easily to get into your feelings and act out feelings instead of acting out in what we know God has for us. Can I get an amen? And these feelings are so profound. I want to jump into this, and I want to touch on all five senses very quickly this morning. And I want to start with number one, the sense of smell. There's a scripture, there's a portion in scripture in Daniel 3:26. You know the story. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor were their hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell on them. And I want to concentrate on this. It says there was no smell of smoke on them. In other words, through the circumstances of life, they had not been left stinking or had a smoke smell experience, but they came through without the fiery smell. We need to get our foot on what has happened to us. There are people in here, you've been through circumstances, you've been through the fire, you've been through the flood, you've been through hell and high water, if I may. You've been through everything imaginable, and you've come out on the other side, and people have looked at you. I know people all over this room, they've said, how in the world did they look so good? How in the world did they come through that circumstance and look and process, and how did they turn out as well as they have? You don't even have the smell of that circumstance on you. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? You've been through hell and high water. You've been through heartbreak. Your heart has been broken and tattered in a million pieces, and you've walked out on the other side without a smell of that fire on you. It's the gift. It's the prodding. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, not to stay where you were, but to head where God has for you, to walk in faith and victory. But I have to say, I've met some people, it's quite the contrary. You've been through hell and high water. You've been through the fire and the flood. and you smell like what you went through. I've met people, they've been treated in a derogatory manner. And in every relationship they go from relationship to relationship. They go from job to job. They go from church to church with the attachment of what happened, the smell of what they went through. And no matter where they go, no matter who they talk to, no matter who they relate with a fire that was and not the glory that is today. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you've been through it, and listen, I know there's story after story after story in this place where people have been through it. Listen, I've been around church long enough to know if you've been hurt by a church and you come in here, I'll tell you, if you don't leave that where it is, you'll walk right into this place and you'll begin to attach to this house the hurt that you felt 20 years ago, and you'll say, oh, it's happening again. I'm going through it again. You've got to give that old hurt. You got to give that old smell. You got to give that old circumstance, the what you smell like in the moment. You got to give that to the Holy Spirit and say, I don't want that to be a part of me. We've got to get our foot on the King of smell. Can you say amen this morning? Number two, we have to get our foot on the sense of what we touch. And in Genesis 27:21, there's an old story where Isaac and Jacob and Esau and their mother, Isaac was on his deathbed. He had all kinds of feelings going on. He's about to die. He knows he's about to enter in. He knows that one chapter is being closed and another one is being opened. And Jacob comes to him as a son. Jacob comes to his bedside, the scripture says, and he wants the blessing that God has promised to Esau, that the father has promised to Esau. He wants it for himself because he's feeling. And he goes, and the scripture actually depicts that he cuts the goat off the hair off of a goat, and he puts it on his arm, and he goes to his father, and he sits next to his father laying in bed. His father touches his arm and says, oh, I feel this hair. Jacob has bare arms. Esau has hair on his arms. It must be Esau. He begins to touch the arm, and instead of going on what Isaac knows the father has spoken to him to do, he begins to walk out that feeling of, oh, this must be Esau. And he begins to give that blessing. He gives that blessing to Esau. What am I saying? Ryan, what are you getting at this morning? If we walk by feelings, if we walk on what we feel and what we touch, we will be misrepresented. We'll be misguided every single time. If every time you feel something in the moment, listen, I've felt hurt 100 times in here. I've felt hurt 1,000,000 times in here, but I had to get control. I had to reign over feelings and not let feelings reign over me. And in this moment, in this difficult moment, Isaac's in his deathbed. He gives the blessing that was Esau. He gives it to Jacob because he acts out in feeling instead of walking in faith. Have you ever met a person that did that? It's not you, but you've met a person. Just wave at me. They've walked out their feelings. I just want to encourage you this morning, be careful, because feelings are fickle. Don't get tricked out of your blessing and your purpose and your destiny because you feel something. I'll tell you, I talk to a lot of grown men. I talk to a lot of couples. I just don't feel it anymore. I just don't have the feeling anymore. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk in what we feel. We walk in what we know. And I just want to warn some men. I want to warn some moms. I want to to warn some married couples. Don't walk out your feelings. Walk out your faith with fear and trembling, knowing that God has a destiny and a purpose and a calling over your life. Don't get tricked out of your blessing because of your feelings. Could somebody say amen? Number three. Come on, say number three. The sense of seeing. The third king that we have to get our foot on is what we see. In 2 Corinthians, it says, so we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Can I just tell you, if you begin to read God's word, it will bring so much correction to feelings. It will bring so much correction to what you feel inside, what your flesh feels. As you begin to seek the word of God, to begin to study the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And in 2 Kings 6, 15, I want to draw witness to something that happened. And it says this, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, he went outside, there was troops, there was horses, there was chariots everywhere. And he says, oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried. And Elijah says, don't be afraid, for there are more on your side than there are against you. And I want to speak this. You're seeing something. You have an illusion in your mind. Your eyes have lied to you, to your spirit, to your, this young man walks outside and he sees horses. He sees chariots. He sees circumstances. He sees problems. He sees all kinds of issue. And he runs inside to the old man like I do with Chuck Vendetti all the time. I run over to him and I say, man of God, look what's happening right now. Look what's going on. And Elijah speaks like some of the older men in this place need to speak. I want to speak to men over 50 years old in this place. I want to speak to women over 50 years old in this place. You got to get your feelings under control, because there's young men and there's young women that are looking to you for you to be the rock, for you to be the steady, for you to be the strong and say, it might look a certain way, but it's not. The God of heaven's armies is standing on the hilltops. And if you read this scripture, if you continue to read, Elijah speaks to him. He says, listen, boy, listen to me, boy. That's what Chuck Wood calls me, boy, sometimes. He says, listen to me, boy. There are more that are for you. And I just want to tell somebody that this morning, your circumstance looks ugly. You're in a spot right now, everything, your sight, you're looking and you're saying, oh my Lord, what's going to happen? I want to speak this to you. There are more that are on your side than there are against you. There are more that have your back in a positive way than are speaking ill and evil against you. The God of heaven's armies is on your side. We have to get our foot on the sense of what we see. Can you say amen this morning? There was three young boys. There was Kai Martin. There was three young boys, three young men, like there are in here. And it came Christmas time. Stay with me a minute. And there was a soccer ball. They were given a new soccer ball for Christmas. And they had one of them nice January days that we had this year. And they went out on the side lawn. They began to kick that ball back and forth. Boom! Kick it. Man, Kai can kick a soccer ball. It'll take your head off. Kicking that soccer ball back and forth, back and forth. And all of a sudden, there was a fence. And on the other side of that fence, there was a hen house. And there was one rooster, and that soccer ball went right in the pen. It went right over in the pen, and they're looking, man, what in the world are we going to do now? And that soccer ball was in the middle of the pen, and that hen came marching out. He was going to do his job, and he was going to protect, and he comes up to that soccer ball. He gets right up to that soccer ball, and he calls all the hens over, right? He calls them all over. He says, get over here, Miss Hens. Come over here and look at this over here. You're laughing already. I haven't got to the punchline. He calls them all over, the roosters over there, and he looks at them hens and he says, listen, this is what I've been talking to you about. You see the eggs that they're laying over on the other side of the fence over there? You need to lay some eggs like these eggs here. And what am I telling you? Your sight will lie to you every time. Your feelings will lie to you every time. You need to concentrate on what God has given you, what he's given you as a destiny and a purpose, and where to serve and how to do it. You can't look at the neighbor's, the eggs from the neighbor, because it lies to you. Your sight lies to you every time. Your circumstance lies to you every time. And you might be the rooster and you might be the hen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. I've got discouraged at times. 3-4 weeks ago, I was going through one of them moments where I was just discouraged. I walked in, Pamela. I walked into a basketball game. It's like your story in the classroom. I walked into this basketball game for Andrew, and I was just sitting there. And this little girl, and I had my hood up because it was cold, right? I was just hiding out. Let me in this game. See, when you think people treat you bad, they might just be going through a moment. Come on, somebody say amen. I was going through a moment. I'm sitting in that basketball game, and man, the Holy Spirit is so funny the way he works. This little girl walks up to me, and she says, are you Pastor Ryan? And I pull my hood off. Oh, yes, ma'am, I am. She says, will you tell my friends at Tuesday night that I miss you? I miss all you guys. And my wife, man, she put it in drive. And my mind was just, I was like, didn't know what to say. My wife said, oh, it's so good to see you. Why haven't you been to Tuesday night? That little girl looked back in my eyes. And it was such a moment where the Holy Spirit said, you can't always trust your feelings, Ryan. She looked back and she said, I'm in foster care now. I want to be there, but I can't be. But tell all my friends I said hi, because I'll be back. You got to work in what God has given you to work on. You got to walk in what he's got you doing. You can't believe what you see all the time because your feelings are fickle. Amen. The fourth thing that we need to get our foot on is what we hear. Do you know that everything you hear isn't real? Do you know that? Do you know that there are things that are said? Oh, did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear what she said? Half of what you hear, dear Jesus, I wish somebody would hear me on this. Half of what you hear is not even true. You got to get your foot on what, and listen to me, I don't have this conquered. When people come at me and I hear it, I want to take the pastor's hat off. You got to be careful. Jesus says in Luke 8:18, take heed, therefore, what you hear. He says, be careful what you let pass through the bridge of your ear. And there's a story in the Old Testament that I'm going to give you really quickly. And everybody's saying, oh, it's so bad. Yeah, you ever heard just being, oh, it's horrible. And they're just negative about everything. Oh, you're never going to get the promotion. You're never going to get a raise. You're never going to move to that next level, to that next glory. The Bible says you move from glory to glory. And faith to faith, if someone tells you different, it's contrary to God's word. You've got the victory. And they begin to say this in 2 Kings. They begin to say this in 1 Kings, rather. He said, and Elijah looks at him, and if you know the story, it's a fantastic story. Elijah says to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's the sound of a heavy rain coming. They begin to tell They begin to, there was no rain. There was, it was ugly. If you read through 1 Kings and you read this, it was a dark, doomy time. And there are people in this room, you've gone through a dark time. You're in the midst of a dark time. You're coming out of a dark time. But the God of heaven's armies is saying to you, just on the other side, there is rain coming. And you can't join in with the sound of the hecklers. You can't join in on everything you hear. We have to place our faith over our feelings and not worry about what the naysayers are saying. We have to put our foot on what we hear. I hear the sound of blessing. I hear the sound of prosperity. I hear the sound of my sons worshiping and praising and lifting up God the Father in a powerful way. I see you walking in victory. I hear you walking in victory. I see God doing amazing things in and through you. You have to be careful. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, because they'll lie to you every single time. I will not listen to Debbie Downers. I will not. Those of you that know me on Tuesday night, if I'll be like Houdini, if somebody starts being negative, I run. Ask Mo, ask Sarah, I'm gone. I will not. I will believe the report of the Lord. I will believe what he says about me. I will believe there is victory in Jesus. And my last point, and those of you that are going to serve communion, if you'll come, we have to get our foot on what we taste. And you say, Ryan, how are you going to bring this one around? I said the same thing, trust me. In 2 Kings 4:41, it says this, but he said, bring the meal. And he said, cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And listen to this real quick. Don't get distracted just for a second. There was a pot of stew in this scripture. And they begin to serve it out, and they begin to taste it, and they said, this stuff is poisoned. And the man of God said, get some meal and dump it in. How many of you know that things can get a little poison sometimes? You can get poison in your house. You can get a little poison in your ministry. You can get a little poison in your church. I want to tell someone this morning, that's not the time to throw the pot out. That's not the point. That's not the time to throw people out. It's not the point to throw the situation out. Sometimes you have to put meal in the pot. And listen to this. You know what the meal represents in the New Testament? What you're grabbing right now. What you're being served right now. The Word of God. The breath of heaven is the Word of God. The Bible says he tells them, put some meal on it. I want to tell someone in this place, you need to put some meal on your poison pot. You need to put some meal on a friendship. You need to put some meal on a marriage. You need to put some meal on the ministry. Do you know why I'm encouraging you to read your YouVersion app? I'm not encouraging you because I want someone to read with. Listen, I love you, but I'm reading either way. I'm studying God's word either way because I need meal in my pot. Trust me. Those of you that know me, you know I need some meal in my pot. But those of you that I know, you need meal in your pot too. You need God's word to be flooded into your ears and into your eyes and into your spirit and into your nose and into your mouth. You need to be saturated in God's presence. You need to be filled up with God's word. You need to be surrounded by the God of heaven's armies. And the only way to do it is to put some meal in the pot. Are you hearing me this morning? Put some meal in that pot. I pray this morning that 30 people will join with us on that YouVersion app, because it's just putting some meal on you. That's discipleship, putting some meal in your spirit. If you've not, listen, I'm not foolish enough to believe there are 30-year Christians in this room that don't read their Bible. There are statistics taken from churches that people who have gone to church more than 10 years are not reading their Bible on a day-to-day basis. You want to wonder why the pot's getting poisoned? You can't handle it in your own strength. I can't. My flesh is too weak. My senses are too weak to handle it. We're taking communion this morning. We're going to partake in the body and in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said at the Last Supper, he says, "This is my body which has been broken for you. This is my blood that has been poured out for you." Each time you do it in remembrance of me. Listen to this for a second. Jesus gave his life so you didn't have to live based on your feelings. You get to live based on your faith. But it's a daily fight. You can't just take communion this morning and say, "Hey, listen, I'm all set for the week. I'll see you next Sunday. Bring another word." If you're in it every single day, if you're partaking of the grace and the mercy and the kindness of our Savior each and every day, you will put meal in your pot. We've got to get our foot on these five senses. Would you take the bread? Nobody brought me any. I must have been bad or something. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad. And it says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." Listen to me. This has been described as the Word of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about partaking in the body and in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're talking about partaking in faith, going deeper, going from glory to glory and faith to faith. As you take this morning, this is a representation that you choose that you're going to rely on your faith and not on your feelings. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, and he took the cup. I love this. And Jesus himself gave thanks. Couldn't we learn something from that? He gave thanks. Man, I'm so thankful this morning. I'm not only thankful for my faith, I've grown so much. God is working so deeply in my life. I thank God. I'm so grateful for that. You know what else I'm grateful for? I'm grateful to get him, to watch him work in your life. Not just my life, your life. You're changing. You're not the same church you were a year ago, 6 months ago, a month ago. You are changing by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. As we take this cup, Father, we say thank you, and we say thank you that you are discipling us. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know, I love you so much. Every person in here this morning, every single person in here this morning, put some meal on it. Get God's word into you. Build your faith. Grow stronger together. And as you do that, then encourage someone else to grow in their faith. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Grab the hand next to you, as long as they don't have the flu. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for your discipling in this place. We want to grow in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That we want to grow in that, Father. We don't want to get stuck in a rut, but we want to grow by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If the prayer people would come now quickly. Listen, there are people in here right now. You've been walking out in feelings. You've gone from relationship to relationship. You've gone from feeling to feeling, frustrated, aggravated, mad. I want to encourage you this morning, before you leave, let one of these faith-filled people pray with you. God wants to do a miraculous conversion in your life, if you'll allow him, if you'll let him. We love you. God loves you. My parents send their love to you. They'll be back, I don't know, today, tomorrow, something, I don't know. They'll be back, though, real soon. And get into a small group. There's plenty of small groups. Build some friendships and relationships. You can't do it on your own. We'll be back here Thursday night. God bless you. Have a great day.